Now, this is Easter morning, and today we celebrate or commemorate the grand climax of the whole plan of salvation, and particularly the life of Jesus, a series of events that began with His birth, followed on through His life and ministry, on through His crucifixion and death, to His final glorious resurrection. And that's the climax, that's the crowning feature of it all, and without that, all the rest would have been lost. It takes a living Christ to save people from their sins. Amen. To change people's lives. To set people on the right course. It takes a living Christ to do that. Amen. A dead Christ in a tomb would not have been able to accomplish that. The whole plan would have fallen through had Jesus not have resurrected from the dead. In fact, God's Word spells it out that way, that if Christ be not risen, then you're yet in your sins, your faith is vain, our preaching is vain, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testify that He raised up Jesus, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now, the Apostle Paul spelled it out that way in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is a treatise on the resurrection. There would have been no salvation had Christ stayed in the tomb. But we're not serving a dead Christ in the tomb this morning, nor a dumb Christ on a crucifix. We're serving the living, eternal, omnipotent Christ. Amen. It's able to save men from their sins, change their lives, give them a new life, and impart to them the eternal life that He Himself became a partaker of when He rose from the dead. Now the Scripture says God has life in Himself. He gave to the Son to have life in Himself, but there it stopped. We do not have life in ourselves. Our life comes from another source, and that's through the living Christ. Now, I'm going to read this morning a number of passages of Scripture. And I may do more reading than I do commenting. It is not my comments that are important anyway. But God's Word is important.
Amen.
So we're going to turn to it and read several passages. The first is in the first chapter of Romans. I'll read the first six verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now I want to turn to the 13th chapter of Acts. and read several verses here, beginning with verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. And I'd like to comment right at this point about the resurrection of Jesus, and it is on the third day. He kept telling his disciples all along that after 3 days he would rise again. Then I was thinking of the case of Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, when Jesus came to them and wanted to be directed to the tomb where Lazarus lay. They said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Decomposition must have already set in by now. Well, now, it seems from that the decomposition of the body, a dead body, occurs in about 4 days. But God didn't let Jesus lay there that long. He had said he wouldn't see any corruption. Decomposition would not take hold on him. So he raised him up on the third day. Now I want to turn to the second chapter of Acts. And I'll begin reading here with verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, And my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the way of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's the second chapter of Acts, from verse 22 through 36. And I want to read another passage from the third chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now I want to read one more, and that's in the 28th chapter of Matthew. I'll read the first 7 verses there. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, whom was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And now I'm going to try to sing a little song in connection with all of these scriptures and this special event that we commemorate today. They crucified my Savior. They crucified my Savior. They crucified my Savior and laid him in the tomb. But he came forth victorious. But he came forth victorious. But he came forth victorious, dispelling all its gloom. Praise God, he is risen. Burst the bars of his prison. We shall rise and be like him when we see him as he is. The Roman guard stood round him. The Roman guard stood round him. The Roman guard stood round him when they the tomb had sealed. But they all fell as dead men. But they all fell as dead men. But they all fell as dead men when his power was revealed. Praise God, he is risen. Burst the bars of his prison. We shall rise and be like him when we see him as he is. Of him our risen Savior, of him our risen Savior, of him our risen Savior, both men and angels sing. O grave, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Praise God, He is risen. Burst the bars of His prison. We shall rise and be like Him when we see Him as He is. Now I want to return to the first chapter of Romans in the fourth verse. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now God had borne witness to the sonship of Jesus on numerous occasions at different times. On the occasion of His baptism in the third chapter of Matthew in verse 17, as He came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended in the bodily form of a dove and sat upon Him, that was the sign that He had told John the Baptist He would recognize Him by, whom you see the Spirit of God descending upon, that's He.
Amen.
And this happened, and a voice spake out of heaven and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then on the Mount of Transfiguration, in the 17th chapter of Matthew, in verse 5, Jesus was transfigured before His disciples up there, Peter, James, and John. And Moses and Elias appeared there talking with Jesus, and it was a real wonderful time up there. Those disciples fell to the ground on their faces, stricken with fear at the atmosphere around there. What was going on there? And a voice spake unto them. Well, first Peter said, when they had raised up, Peter said, "It's good for us to be here. This is wonderful goings on here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elias, one for you." But while he was yet speaking, a voice came out of the heavens and said, "This is My beloved Son, hear Him."
Amen.
Moses had had his day, the prophets had had theirs. This is the day of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the one we're to hear now, and He is the one that'll be the judge of quick and dead at His appearing in His kingdom. As Jesus Christ, we'll all be judged by Him, and He said, "The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." Then in the 12th chapter of John again, in verse 28, on this occasion there had been some of the apostles that had come to Jesus and served notice on Him, but there were some Greeks there desiring to see Him. Well, there was a little conversation went back and forth between Jesus and those disciples, and then Jesus turned the focus of His conversation to His heavenly Father. And He said, "Father, glorify Thy name."
Yes.
There came a voice out of heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. On these occasions and numerous others, God had borne witness and testified of Jesus Christ being His Son. But the final confirmation and seal of His sonship was given in His resurrection from the dead. That was the climax. That was the top notch. Declared to be the Son of God. Confirmed. Absolutely beyond question now. Confirmed to be the Son of God with power. That's important too. You see, Jesus, after His resurrection, He appeared to His disciples and He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now Jesus had great power while He was here in the world. And He had power to forgive sins, and He had power to heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases, and He had power to cast out devils and deliver people out of all of the troubles therein. But when He came forth on this side of the grave and of death and had conquered death and the grave, He had all power then. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. When God raised Jesus up, He raised Him in power and in glory and declared Him to be the Son of God. Now, let us remember that as glorious as Easter morning is, and what it means to us, that it took Gethsemane and Calvary to produce an Easter morning. There would never have been an Easter morning had there not have been a Calvary and a crucifixion.
Amen.
And a death. There would have been no resurrection had there been no death. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verses 10 and 11, He says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Now this is a wonderful text here. Jesus poured out His soul, an offering unto death. And in the 8th verse of this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the whole chapter is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ and His suffering and His death and His glory. It says, for the transgression of My people was He stricken. Jesus went through all of this for the transgression of the people. God placed on Him the iniquity of us all. He who knew no sin, God made Him sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ became as we are, took upon Him human flesh, suffered the death and the shedding of His blood at Calvary because of our sins, that He might lift us out of our sins and restore us to the Edenic state, to the image of God in which man was made, and we could become like Him.
Yes.
Now that's the ultimate. And let us realize that everyone that ever gets to heaven is going to have to be like Jesus. He's the model. Nothing unlike Him is ever going to get in there. The Bible says, as He is, so are we in this present world. In other words, He became as we are in order that we might, through faith in the merits of the sacrifice that He made, have a work wrought in our hearts and in our lives that would make us like He is. Now, He said, He shall see His seed. Isaiah 53:8, just two verses above where I read, asks the question, who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. Who will declare His generation? Verse 10 answers the question. And when He has poured out His soul an offering unto death and made an atonement for the sins of the whole world, said He shall see His seed. There'll be a multitude of seed come forth out of this. Jesus said in the 12th chapter of John's Gospel in verse 24, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now that was true of Jesus, that's true of you and me. But initially I'm thinking now of Jesus. Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We are the generation, the Christian generation of this Christian age of time, this gospel age of time, are the seed that have been produced through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, He shall see His seed and shall prolong His days. You know, that's a glorious, wonderful truth.
Amen.
He shall prolong His days. And here He's talking about Him dying and offering His soul an offering for sin and pouring out His life. And now He says He'll prolong His days. Now, that's a wonderful, glorious truth. By His death, He prolonged His days. He died, He was laid in the tomb. On the third day, God raised Him from the dead. And His days go on and on and on. He inherited eternal life through that. He shall prolong His days through His dying.
Amen.
The sixth chapter of Romans in verse 9, He says, Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. He'll live forever. In the first chapter of Revelation in verse 18, it says, I am He that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. Forever and forevermore, Jesus received eternal life through His death and making an acceptable sacrifice unto God that God can accept. He said He saw the travail of His soul and He was satisfied. And the requirements and demands of a righteous law was satisfied. The penalty for sin had been paid. God placed it all on Him, the iniquity of us all. In the second chapter of Hebrews in verse 9, He said, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man.
Yeah.
Now Jesus paid it all. They sang it here this morning. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. As He came forth on this side of the cross, this side of the grave and this side of death, He became a partaker of eternal life. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. And He was a partaker of eternal life, but folks, he never only obtained eternal life for himself. He obtained eternal life for us also. Peter said in 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verses 3 through 5, he said, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." That's eternal life for us. And in the sixth chapter of Romans, in verse 23, he says, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Eternal life available to every soul here this morning, and to every soul in the whole world, from the river to the ends of the earth. It's available to every man, woman, and child of Adam's fallen race, because Jesus has obtained eternal life, and through Him we live also. He said in the 14th chapter of John, in verse 19, "Because I live, ye shall live also."
Amen.
So it's a privilege of every one of us to obtain eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He did not only prolong His own days, but He prolonged ours too, unto life eternal, as we believe in Him. And the Word of God says, Romans 10:9, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
You see how important the resurrection is to us. And it isn't just a passing thing. It isn't just a take it or leave it thing. But it's an essential to our salvation. If thou wilt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the terms of salvation: confessing with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in thine heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead and is a living Christ today. There are the basics of salvation. Amen.